Open up your Bibles, Romans chapter 3, answering the question, why is the cross, was the cross necessary? We're going to be traveling to various scriptures. You guys, listen, you're going to know all of them. They're very familiar. They're near and dear to our hearts as believers. These are things that we share with others. But I want to read them. I want to consider them. And I want them to fit within a context of tonight. And so, Romans chapter 3, before we read it, allow me and agree with me in prayer. Jesus, we are here to exalt you and you alone. You said that if you would be lifted up, you would draw them into yourself. So here we are tonight as your people, and we want to lift you up. Help us to understand this. Holy Spirit, would you take your word as it's read and spoken and expounded on at times and help us to understand it at a deeper level? For those of us who know you and are walking with you, Lord, we want to be in awe of you, amazed at your love for us and how you so love this world. God, we pray that you would move in our hearts. I'm so thankful we get to gather like this. This is such a joy. We celebrate you, Jesus. And so come and be here, Holy Spirit, in your power and in a way only you can. Help us to understand your word and move us, stir us up tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Why the cross? Here's why. Because you have earned death. And you have earned judgment. That's why. Individually, of course, right? All of these things will apply to you as an individual. It also applies to the human race. Nobody escapes any of this. Nobody escapes this. Nobody escapes this. No one escapes this. Whether you believe it, it's true, or whether you don't believe it, that it's true, you will not escape the reality of what I'm getting ready to tell you. And let me tell you what, there's good news coming. But right now, it's heavy. You deserve and have so wonderfully earned death and judgment. Why? Because you have rebelled. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have. Everybody has missed the mark. Everybody has gone their own way. No one, as Romans has said already, nobody follows the Lord. We have rebelled so effectively as a human race. And then individually, though, I guess I have rebelled against him. Let's turn to chapter 6. And if you were guessing, you could probably guess. Verse 23, all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is a perfect and holy God in heaven who has a perfect way, and we've rebelled against him and said, I'm going to do my own thing. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. We'll get a sneak peek to the good news here, but the gift of God is eternal life, and guess what? It's found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. That's why we can say we've earned it, right? We have earned it. I have earned death. I have earned judgment. I have earned God's wrath. It is what is rightfully mine because of my rebellion. It's what's rightfully yours because of your rebellion and having gone your own way. You guys, if you ever watch Ray Comfort do his thing, he'll go out there on Huntington Beach and interview people and ask them, are you a good person? You think you're going to heaven? Do you believe in heaven, right? And so on and so forth. And he'll go through, and I really appreciate how he uses God's word, we call it the law, to just help people see. That's the purpose of the law, isn't it? To point us to Jesus, that we would realize we need a Savior. He'll just ask them, have you ever lied before? And most people will say, yeah, I've lied before. Well, what does that make you? It makes you a liar, doesn't it? Have you ever stolen something before, taken something that's not yours? And what's that make you? And a lot of times they'll say, a stealer. Nope, that's a football team. It makes you a thief is what it makes you. I would say a stealer, just so you know. That's what I would say. I'm a stealer. No, I'm not. I'm a Colts fan. No, it makes you a thief, doesn't it? It makes you a thief. Have you ever looked at a woman or looked at a man and lusted after them in your heart? Oh, man. Well, that makes me an adulterer at heart. Man, God has said that a thief and an adulterer, a blasphemer, all these things, like you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Like, what are you going to do when you die? What's going to happen to you? And they're just like, oh, man, a lot. You know, you get good dialogue. Some people just reject it. Some people are like, oh, my goodness. Oh, and then an opportunity for Jesus, right? This is what has happened as we go through these scriptures. Like, I've earned these things. Sin. Oh, man. Why the cross? Well, because of sin. Okay, big turn here. Genesis chapter 2, real big one. All the way in the beginning. And I want you to see a connection. Kids, you guys are doing awesome. Way to go. Genesis chapter 2, the first mention of death didn't take very long, unfortunately. And that's actually prior to sin. It's God warning and knowing what's going to happen, undoubtedly. But in Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you can freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." There's always been a connection between my sin and rebellion and the idea of death and what we have earned because of it. And what is this death? It's separation from God, where I will spend eternity in hell separated from Him, the source of all life. And God doesn't want it to be that way. And I imagine most of you in here didn't want it to be that way. That's why you cried out for a Savior. Jesus. So it's always been this way. Okay, another big turn. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, okay? So Ephesians is like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Sorry, I could keep going if I wanted to, just so y'all know, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at the beginning of it, and we're going to skip the good news for now, guys. I want to just craft a message. Let me do it for now, okay? And so we're going to skip the good news, and we just want to read kind of the bad news, all right? I'm going to read this as the New Testament text has, not how my Bible's inserted things in italics for understanding, okay? So in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just like the others." Now you notice the tenses here, all past tense, and praise the Lord, there's always good news coming. But this gives us an idea of the dire state that we were in. And for those of you who don't know the Lord, this is where you are. You are by nature a child of God's wrath, but it doesn't have to stay that way. This is great news. Okay, go to Titus chapter 3, and you'll see this picture again as well. This is by Timothy's. You've got a bunch of T's in a row. Titus chapter 3, and this is going to be verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts." This is verse 3. I don't know if I said that. "Serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Apart from Christ, man, that's where we're at. We need help. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's something very beautiful about this passage at the very end, especially. We're going to start in verse 9. We're painting a bleak picture of every single one of us here. Do you not know 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11, the very first part of it? "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Guys, listen, don't be deceived, Paul says. "Fornicators, nor adulterers or adulterers, or homosexuals or sodomites or thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards or revilers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." But look what it says there in 11, just that first part. "And such were some of you." And we're going to get to the good news later. But right now, "and such were some of you." I've been there. That's a list of things that I've struggled with and battled with, but that I've been set free from. That list right there. God is so good. By nature, children of God's wrath. To close up this particular section, you guys turn to Revelation. That's an easy one. It's the very end, right before your concordance. Revelation chapter 20. We read this when we were studying through Acts a week or so ago. This is Good Friday. Lots to celebrate, but there's a sobriety to it, a reality, and I'm hoping that your guys' hearts are being stirred up, because if you know Christ, man, you have so much to be thankful for, and this day is a special day that we get to remember what Jesus has done. We're by nature children of wrath, and apart from Christ, I just want you to know where you're going and what you have to look forward to. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things that were written in those books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to their works." This is a sobering view. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. That's the final place. This is the second death, it says in 15. "And anybody not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, man, I'm thankful there's good news to this. Can you imagine, had Christ never come, had we didn't have a Good Friday? This is where our end is. A great white throne and a God that we would look at in terror because we are going to be judged. But it's not like that. It doesn't have to be like that. That's why it's a Good Friday. Why the cross? Well, you guys, we needed someone. We needed someone to have victory over the forces of sin and evil. What do we do? I need a savior. I need someone to liberate me from this power. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read it quickly. You don't have to turn there, but it's 13 through 15. It says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your heart," here comes the good news, "he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses." Can you even believe it? Everything we just read, Jesus has forgiven you. He's saying, come on, open up your heart. I'm there, right? Open it up. I've taken care of the problem. He's forgiven you all your trespasses. He's wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. It was contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way and he's nailed it to the cross. And he has disarmed, rendered them ineffective, principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That's what Christ has done. Why did we need a cross? I needed someone to save me. That's why. And so did you. I needed someone to satisfy the wrath of God. So I didn't have to stand in front of that judge at that moment at the great white throne. I need help. I can't do it on my own. I can't be good enough. You can't be good enough. The standard is perfection. That's why we have a perfect lamb that came and offered himself on our behalf. Jesus has satisfied the wrath of God. Allow me to read a couple scriptures. I won't be able to get to all of them, but man, there's some that are so important. I want to share a story. This is Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. It's a parable that Jesus shares, but in it there's something, I don't know if I could say hidden, but something really beautiful about it. As Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and then those same people, they despised others. He said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee, a super religious guy, looked really good, super moral man, all those things. And the other was a tax collector. That's a messed up guy, a dirty dude, a sinner, right? Well, both of those guys went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. He says, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like those extortioners or the unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm thankful, Lord,' he says." And he looks all right at this tax collector. He's like, "Lord, I thank you I'm not that tax collector." Can you believe this guy? He says, "I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess." And in all of that, this dude's going straight to hell. He had religion. It's not going to work. He was as good as it gets, and it's not going to work. But you notice this, and Jesus is setting these two things up, this contrast. He says the tax collector stood far off. He wouldn't as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Like, yeah, man, right on. That's the heart, isn't it? And Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, this man went to his house justified. This dude was, he beat his chest and he said, God, be merciful to me. It's the word propitiation. I need someone else to step in on my behalf. And that's exactly what we're celebrating tonight. Jesus, who has stepped in on our behalf and taken care of it. The Lord Jesus has done it. He has become the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied the wrath of God. That's why I don't have to be a child of God's wrath anymore. Because Jesus took care of it for me. And I'm clinging to him and his righteousness. Why the cross? Last thing here, and then we're going to move into the story. But why the cross? Here's why. Because God loves you. That's why. God loves you. He cares for you so much. He's created you. And it breaks his heart when we rebel. It hurts him. When you go your own way, he loves you. He loves you so much that he would send his only son. And he said that whoever believes will not perish. They won't be children of wrath, but they'll have everlasting life. God loves you so much, he sent his only son, that you don't have to stand in front of the great white throne judgment. You don't have to flee when you see God. You could run to him. Isn't that awesome? We get to run to him. Like tonight, we worshiped him. There's no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loves you. And he's reaching out to you, and he desires that you would know that. Real fast, Romans chapter 5. Turn there in your Bible so you see it. We're getting really close to me reading the story, and then we're going to take communion, and then we'll be dismissed and go eat cereal or ice cream or something. Until we get to that moment, you guys, I'm so thankful for your patience, you know, and like just allowing God's word to speak. Romans chapter 5, I want to start in verse 5. It says, hope does not disappoint. We're going to talk about hope on Sunday. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise the Lord. The benefit of Christ's sacrifice on the cross and his blood being shed on our behalf and covering and paying for our sins. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's good news. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You can consider that. Would you ever die for somebody? I would die for my kids and my wife. I don't know about any of you. I don't know about any other of you. I just gotta be real. I would die for my kids and my wife. Oh, man. Yet perhaps a good man, someone would even dare to die. Oh, but look at God. He demonstrates, or he has shown his love toward us. That's towards you. Like, take this so personal because it's supposed to be. God has demonstrated his love towards you, and that while you were still a sinner, he died for you. That's how much he loves you. Why the cross? Here's why, because God loves you so much. And he wants you to know that. Much more, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Isn't that good news? Praise God for that. Jesus said in John 10:10, the enemy has come, the thief, to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. And here's Jesus. He loves you so much. He's come that you could have life and life abundant. And for a believer, man, this is good news. Praise the Lord for what he has done. Well, how do we respond to this? Okay, let's just finish up with that. What do you even do? Jesus was asked that question. And his answer is awesome. They said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe in him that he sent. That's pretty simple. Believe, trust in, rely upon, and adhere to the work that Christ has done. Him. In Acts, as the Gentiles sat and listened to Peter share the message of the gospel, he says to him, Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, that's the name of Jesus, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Like the sins are gone. It's like you haven't done anything. You become justified. When you believe in Jesus, it is as if you have never sinned. That is how God sees you. That's how God can remove the wrath from you. You're hidden in Christ and the work that he has done. Peter, preaching again, says to people who said, what do I need to do about this? Well, he says, repent. You got to change the way you think about Jesus. He's not some holy dude. He's not some whatever. He is the King of Kings, the second person of the Trinity. God himself came and gave his life on our behalf. You got to think different about Jesus. He is the Lord. And your knee is going to bow to him one way or another. I'd say do it right now. Don't wait, because when you see that white throne, it's too late. It's too late then, guys. But you have a chance right now. Isn't that so exciting? To offer yourself to the Lord. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Praise God for that. Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what we get. Refreshment. He's so good to us, you guys. What if you're a follower of Christ? Well, I think you should worship him. What do you do in response to a message like this? Worship. We'll do that here in a second. Adore him. Live your life for him. Be consecrated. Share this with other people. Get fired up about it. Get excited about this. And you could thank him, right? Like, God, you're so good. Thank you for all that you have done. You have been released from bondage. You've been released from the prison. The doors are wide open. Your only hope of being let go is if you've never committed a crime at all, and in Christ you've been forgiven. Man, this is good stuff. Praise the Lord for that. What I want to do now is we're going to transition, and we're going to look at this story, and we're going to pick it up from a little bit later. There's a timeline, okay? Now, if you want to in your Bibles, we're going to have it up there. I'm not going to read through all of it for the sake of time, but I do want to fill you in on some of the timing of it. And I've never looked at this before. And as I was studying and doing some research, I came across another person who studied it and did way more research. And he had like some time to it. And I thought it was really interesting. I just want to point it out to you. We're going to start at 4 a.m. in the morning. Well, for now, we'll just call it Friday, okay? Just some debate on, was it this is Thursday when the Passover was? Come on, let's not worry about that right now. 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., Jesus goes before, after the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes before Annas and Caiaphas. And there's this joke of a trial. Early in the morning. For whatever reason, my mind thinks this is all at night because we're here doing it at night, right? We're hanging out together in the evening. I just never put a time frame to it. And hold these loosely, right? We're just studying and trying the best we can to think through things. They ask him, and like, hey, are you the king? And Jesus just sits there, doesn't say a word. He ends up saying, though, that he is. He's the Son, and he says, you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming on the clouds of heaven. It's going to be a good day, isn't it? They rip their clothes, they scream and they yell at him. They condemned him to be deserving of death, and some of them then spit on him. They blindfolded him, and they began to beat him and say, hey, prophesy. The officers struck him with the palm of their hands. Well, after they finished that, from 6 to 8 a.m., he went before Pilate. They have that famous statement there in John 18. This is John 18 through really 19. That dialogue with Pilate where he's asking these questions. Jesus isn't even saying anything to him really. And he goes on to say, don't you know that I have the power to release you or to not? And Jesus says, let me tell you something. You'd have no power at all unless the Father gave it to you. Just a wild statement. He says that from once Pilate heard that, he's like, this dude, this is the real guy. So I know that's an abridged version. This dude is the real guy. I know. I'm so sorry, you guys. What an abridged version. I'm so sorry. But he brings him out. What do you want me to do with him? He says to the crowd, and they yell, crucify him. Crucify him. Why? What's he done wrong? And they yelled it all the louder. Crucify him. Brings him out. Says, behold your king. Shall I crucify your king? You remember what they said? They said, we have no king but Caesar. What a bunch of sellouts. And an unbelievable. Let that never be something we would say. God help us. And he delivered him to them to be crucified, and they led him away. This is still in the morning, guys. And here's why we know this. We're going to get some time. 8 to 8:30, Jesus carries his cross. The soldiers took him, scourged him, mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They took a robe, made fun of him, put the crown of thorns on his head. Please keep in mind, this is all because he loves you. We just went through, why? Why is Jesus doing all this? We just went through it all. Remember Simon of Cyrene, they grabbed him, they compelled him to take his cross. By 9 a.m., there's the crucifixion. Mark says it was the third hour when they crucified him. The third hour, you guys, the Jewish day started at 6 a.m. The third hour is 9 o'clock. They didn't waste any time. And when they had come to a place called Calvary, they crucified him with the criminals on the right hand and on the left hand. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why the cross? Because he loves you. It was at this time the soldiers began to divide his garments. There was prophecy about this, right? Scriptures all over the place. They divided my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. It's like Jesus is looking down from timeless eternity, watching them do this to him. And then, you know, it being written about in the Psalms. They divided my garments. It's like he's watching this take place. And he knowingly came and he died on our behalf. Noon, Jesus is on the cross being mocked and ridiculed by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests. They come by and they just begin to mock him. You say that you're God. You say that you're the Son of Man. Why don't you come down? We'll believe you then, they begin to say to him. The King of the Jews. Can you imagine such a scene? Even the robbers who were crucified with him began to revile him. But one of the criminals, this is in Luke's gospel, that were hanged there, who were blaspheming him, they said, hey, if you're this. But the other one said, don't you fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? We're justly, for we receive the reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that incredible? That dude got to go see Jesus in heaven like to then, right? What an incredible experience that would have been. How effective is the blood of Christ? And it's like, dude, this starts today. The good news starts today. At noon, darkness, right? Now, it was the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. We're getting close, everybody. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. This is in Matthew. With a loud voice, he said, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood near heard, hey, he's calling for Elijah. And they took a sponge and they do this. They wanted to see this miracle. Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes. He cried out again with a loud voice. John says that he said, it is finished. Tetelestai, you guys know, man, if you don't know, check it out. It means paid in full. Remember how he satisfied the wrath of God? I've been sold into slavery of sin, rebellion. Man, he paid my price. Jesus said, it is finished. That means it's finished. And when he had cried out with a loud voice again, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. And back to Matthew, he says that he yielded his spirit. Nobody took his life. He gave it. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And that robber was with the Lord Jesus. Entrance now. We have an ability to know him. That relationship that was broken there in the garden has been fixed because of what Christ has done. And you have access to it today. And my goodness, for those of you who follow in Christ, we continue in it. After that, of course, he was buried, and we get to get excited about what happens on Sunday because he didn't stay there. Praise God for that. Worship team, go ahead and come on up. While we have our Bibles, guys, go to Luke chapter 22. And I want you to have a moment to meditate and to consider these things and to worship him and be excited about him. Communion, guys, you can go ahead and come on up too. We talked about why the cross and all that was necessary for Jesus to come and take care of things on our behalf, his great love. He's defeated the spiritual darkness and the evil and the corruption. All that stuff we were sold into, he's taking care of it. I don't have to be a child of God's wrath anymore. I've sinned. I've fallen short. Here he is. He's come. And before we even pass out, I just want to bring this before you, and I want to give you guys a chance to respond to the Lord as you see fit. In the quietness of your own heart, right where you are, again, to worship him, maybe to offer your life to him, to open up your life to him for the very first time and say, God, I don't understand it all. I don't know everything, but I want this and I need you. Like right now is the time and opportunity you have to remember what he's done on the cross. In Luke chapter 22, this is an event that took place prior to everything we just read. Jesus, when the hour had come, sat down with his 12 apostles, and he said, with a fervent desire, I've greatly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I'm saying to you right now, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of this until the fruit of the vine in the kingdom. He took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them and said, this is my body, which is given for you, which is broken for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. When we take communion, the bread represents that. What we're celebrating here, that his body was broken on our behalf. So ours wouldn't have to be. Likewise, he took the cup after the supper, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or forgiveness of sins. That's why Jesus had to come. He died on our behalf. It's a story that we're so familiar with, a story that we know. And as we pause now, and we'll go in to worship, as they pass out the elements, you guys take them and hold them, and normally we'll do it together. I did it right here. I want you to know what communion is, but I want you to sit before the Lord. You want to sit with your wife or your family right there in your area, whatever you want to do, but just consider the Lord. Spend some time and pray and meditate on him and who he is and what he's done. And when you're ready to take it, take the bread, take the juice, and then we'll continue in worship. We'll have a song for communion. We'll have a song to worship to close service up. And I want you to know that if you are at a spot where you need Jesus, like now's the time, you cry out to him, that you offer him your life, and then you get to take communion now and remember the work of the cross. Let me pray, and we'll get to it. Father, we give thanks to you. There is no one like you. And we worship you even tonight, and as we remember the work of the cross, and in a very special way, we get to take communion and remember that your body was broken and your blood was shed on our behalf. Help us to understand it in a new, deeper way, that it would touch us. It would move us. It would stir us up and cause us as believers, man, we would just be absolutely in awe of you. Thankful that you've done this on our behalf. The life you've now given us access to. We no longer have to live in brokenness. We don't have to be in despair any longer. We don't have to live a life that has no purpose, but you, Jesus, have given us all of those things. And we thank you for that. As we consider now communion, Lord, would you minister it to us? As we pray, as we seek after you, Lord, would you come and meet us here tonight? Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of each person here and lead them during this time. Have your way, Father. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.